A float plane ran into trouble in Tracy Arm yesterday after a malfunction or break in a strut for one of the floats. The plane, identified only as a red and yellow Glass Air with two people on board, activated an emergency beacon and issued a distress call before 4:30 yesterday afternoon that was picked up by an Alaska Airlines jet. According to the Coast Guard, the strut came loose when the plane hit a wake while taking off. A rescue boat from the cruise ship Carnival Spirit was dispatched to the scene in Williams Cove. The two aircraft passengers declined treatment. They were apparently not injured and waited on one of the floats of the partially submerged aircraft. A Coast Guard 45-foot response boat picked up the two people and brought them back to Juneau. A mechanic will be dispatched today to repair the aircraft. Juneau police on Wednesday cited 22-year-old Juneau resident Kate Eden for negligent driving and failure to give immediate notice of an accident. According to a Juneau Police Department statement, multiple 911 calls came in about 7:30 Wednesday night, reporting a single vehicle rollover crash near Mendenhall Loop and Mall Road. Responding officers found an upside-down truck canopy and evidence of significant damage to a vehicle. Witnesses provided a description and license plate number for a 1999 Nissan pickup. Officers found the truck at a James Boulevard residence. An investigation determined Eden was driving when it crashed. Damage to the truck was estimated at $2,000. Officers believe that alcohol was involved in the accident. The company interested in taking over the only full-service grocery store in downtown Juneau says it's close to signing a lease agreement with the owners of the Foodland Shopping Center. Tyler Myers, president of Whidbey Island-based Myers Group, LLC, says he's hoping to find out by Monday whether he'll get the financing he needs to remodel the space. It's currently occupied by the Alaskan and Proud Market, and Myers says the plan is to keep the store open during renovation. Myers Group owns about half a dozen IGA markets in western Washington, including stores in downtown Tacoma and Seattle. Ketchikan-based Alaskan and Proud announced in April that its Juneau location would close in early September. The store recently cut hours. Several shelves sit empty, and a number of employees have left for other jobs. The Foodland Shopping Center is owned by the Rosenberger family of Juneau. Their realtor, John Williams, has declined to comment on ongoing negotiations. Environmental groups are asking the Interior Department to take a closer look at the abundant corals found on the Chukchi seafloor. The soft pink coral is one of the most common species in the area, where Shell is planning to begin exploratory drilling later this year. But Shell and the Interior Department say the coral has already been well documented and no further study is needed. Annie Feit has more on the story.
At the end of July, Greenpeace marine biologist John Hosevar was on the organization's ship Esperanza in the Chukchi Sea. He wanted to survey the seafloor, so he got into a tiny red submarine and began descending into the icy water. In this audio recording, his passenger, Joe Lepore, describes what they see.
Bottom's in sight. On bottom. Okay, time 14:10. Pink object, bottom left of the screen.
That pink object Lepore talks about is soft coral. John Hosevar says biologists have described soft coral on the Chukchi seafloor in the past, but he didn't expect it to be so prevalent.
We were surprised to see just how much there was.
The video shows the coral scattered along the soft seabed alongside sea cucumbers, basket stars, and thousands of brittle stars. Hosevar says the coral is an especially important species.
They are one of the few things that are sticking up off the bottom. So they're providing habitat and shelter for other species in the Arctic.
The Interior Department says it has already done extensive analysis of the Chukchi Sea floor and has considered the impact oil development could have on corals in the area. The department also notes the coral is known from previous research to be relatively resilient, but Greenpeace and the Center for Biological Diversity are asking the agency to conduct a supplemental review of the coral, given the amount their expedition uncovered on the Chukchi floor. Here's Hosevar again.
U.S. law recognizes the importance of corals, and policymakers are asked to identify coral areas and take steps to protect them. So for the interior to say, we knew there were corals there, we just decided that they weren't important, doesn't really hold water.
Shell says it has spent $60 million on baseline research in the Arctic, and the company has its own video of the Chukchi seafloor from last August. It's very similar to the one Greenpeace produced this summer, and specifically points out soft coral. Shell spokesman Curtis Smith says decades of Arctic studies have documented the existence of this type of coral.
As part of our license to operate, and certainly the permits that we have, all of these things have to be taken into consideration, and of course the protection of these ecosystems and of course the habitats. So of course we believe, as the agencies do, that we have done that. Otherwise we wouldn't have the permits that we do.
Shell had hoped to be drilling in the Arctic by now. The company has more than 20 support vessels in place near both prospects in the Chukchi and Beaufort Sea, and 1,000 workers are standing by. But Shell's two drilling rigs are still in Dutch Harbor, and its oil containment barge, the Arctic Challenger, is undergoing some tweaking in Bellingham, Washington. Smith says he doesn't know when it will be ready to go, but the company will certainly be happy when it sets sail.
I would just characterize it as a strong desire, as you might imagine, to get to work. We've been planning this program for 6 years. We're now days away from drilling in the Beaufort and Chukchi Sea, so we can't rush through this last critical part.
Shell has to wait for the Coast Guard to approve the Arctic Challenger and for the Interior Department to issue its final go-ahead before it can begin drilling. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's hopeful the Senate will use the lame duck session after the November election to approve the Law of the Sea Treaty. Murkowski says signing the treaty would contribute to national security and allow a level of certainty in exploiting natural resources off the state's coast as melting sea ice makes more of the ocean accessible. Both Murkowski and fellow Alaska Senator Mark Begich strongly advocate signing the treaty, which establishes a system for resolving disputes in international waters. Critics say the issue is one of sovereignty and would subject the United States to international and judicial entities. Murkowski says some of her Republican colleagues are an automatic no vote if a treaty has the United Nations in its title. The remains of an Alaska-based soldier slain in Afghanistan will be returned home to northern Idaho today. 22-year-old specialist Ethan J. Martin was killed by enemy fire August 7th. A statement from the Army says Martin's remains will arrive at the Sandpoint Airport this morning, and the Army will hold a ceremony there to transfer the remains to Martin's family. A funeral for Martin will be held tomorrow afternoon at Bonners Ferry High School. Martin joined the Army in 2009. He was based at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, and his 3,500-soldier brigade went to Afghanistan in December. 4 months after surviving a recall campaign, the Holy Cross City Council is facing fines from the Alaska Public Offices Commission for failing to file mandatory financial disclosures on time. The small Native village also paid the state more than $37,000 in penalties this summer for failing to provide workers' compensation insurance for city employees for more than 2 years. According to state documents, the village would have paid a premium of about $3,200 had it been in compliance for the 868 days the insurance had lapsed. Seven council members, including the mayor, have issued a late appeal to the APOC fines, which range between $250 and $450. In April, four of the council members running for re-election defeated challengers who launched a recall effort against the entire council.